thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of Clearview Church. At Clearview, our focus is making Christ visible and providing an atmosphere of worship and community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadan Shah.
This morning, we're going to learn from this last miracle in our series, Miraculous, how Jesus came and helped his disciples get to the right sweet spot. They had lost their focus, they had lost their mission, and he had to do some course correction on them. He had to motivate them to get back in the mission that he had given to them. Jesus has not called us just to be soul winners. He has called us to be soul multipliers. It's not enough for just one or two fish or one or two souls for the kingdom of God. He wants us to have a multitude of fish. He wants us to have a massive catch, so massive that you can't even pull it in. But he promises that the net will not break. You have your Bibles with you. Turn to John chapter 21 for our message called The Great Soul Multiplier. And let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 21, starting in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We're going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And he said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Now this morning, before we understand what it means to be a soul multiplier, the question that all of us need to answer, especially if we claim that we are believers, especially if we claim that we are disciples of Jesus, and the question is this: have you caught any fish lately? And I'm not talking about fish in the lake or the pond or the ocean. I'm talking about souls. Have you led anyone to Christ? You say, "My circumstances, my situation, my this and that and the other." As a disciple of Jesus Christ, my primary goal is to do what the Master did: seek and save that which was lost. If you were truly being honest, many of us have never led anybody to Christ. By the way, before you can catch, you have to be caught. You cannot be fishing if you are the fish. This final miracle in our series on the miracles of Christ from all four Gospels is coming from the Gospel of John again. Now you heard me repeat throughout this series when we came to the miracles from John that John the Apostle, or the writer of the fourth Gospel, uses the word signs for miracles. Now, as you know, signs were more than just miracles. Signs were also proofs that Jesus was and is God. Signs were proofs that what the Old Testament promised, Jesus one by one fulfilled. Water into wine was not about wine. Walking on the waves was not about just Sea of Galilee. Feeding the 5,000 was not just about physical hunger. See, all those were signs, and Jesus fulfilled them. Having said that, even though this miracle is also coming from the Gospel of John, it's a different sign. You see, all the previous miracles from the Gospel of John were done before Jesus went to the cross. All those miracles were Jesus telling the people, "I am the one." But then Jesus did the ultimate sign. What was the ultimate sign? He died, he was buried, on the third day he rose again. In fact, I want you to hear what Jesus, what it says in John chapter 20, verse 30, right before the miracle we're going to look at today. Listen to what it says. It's on the screen. "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." In other words, the time for signs was over. Now you have to make a decision. Will you receive Jesus or will you reject him? And by the way, let me make a very quick application. Many of y'all have been hearing message after message. You have been hearing sermon after sermon, not just from me, but from churches you've been to, ministries you follow, pastors you listen to, Bible teachers you are listening to on the podcast, whatever. Now it's time for a decision. What other message will convince you that you need to give your heart to Christ? Now back to our miracle. If the time for signs was over, then why did Jesus do this one more sign in John chapter 21? I mean, by 20, John tells us it's done so that you may believe. And then another one. This sign that we're going to look at today, this is after the resurrection, was not done by Jesus to manifest the glory of God. This sign of the miraculous catch was done by Jesus to motivate his disciples to fulfill the mission of God. In other words, this sign was not about the person of Jesus. This sign was about the mission of Jesus. Now, before we go any further and start looking at how is the sign and the mission of Jesus coming together and Jesus helping the disciples catch fish, what is the mission of Jesus? What was the mission of Jesus? Well, he gave it to them. Just a few verses earlier, before this sign of catching that big catch of fish, he told them in John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22, and also 23. Listen to what he said. It's on the screen. "And one time he came to them and said, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" Here's your mission. "But wait. And when he has said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" I mean, this is not like any other mission. Before you go on this mission, you're going to have the third person of the Godhead in you. You will have the Holy Spirit empowering you, giving you authority. Okay? But we still don't know what the mission is, Jesus. Verse 23. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." What does that mean? It means this. Your mission is to go out in the power, in the authority of the Holy Spirit. And you have the gospel in your hand. If you bring them the gospel of salvation, they will find forgiveness of sins and they are forgiven forever. If you don't bring them the power of the gospel, guess what? They are going to die in their sins. Now, oh, wait a minute. Doesn't that take away from the sovereignty of God? You have no idea how much I believe in the sovereignty of God. I'm an extremist when it comes to the sovereignty of God. I believe God is extremely sovereign. His will is always done. And yet, in his divine sovereignty, he has allowed human free will. Ah, that doesn't make sense. Are you God? Folks, some things are a mystery. Let God take care of that. But I know this much. If I don't share the gospel with people, they're going to die and go to hell. This is my mission. So now keep that mission in mind as we go further and listen to what it says in this miracle. Let's begin. Chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, same thing. And in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, which were James and John, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, listen to what he says to them, I'm going fishing. That seems harmless, doesn't it? He was a fisherman. They got to eat. They have to pay bills. I'm going fishing. But remember, this is a sign. This is not just, well, we're waiting on Jesus, and while we're waiting, why don't we just go fishing? Well, we need to eat. Let's go fishing. We got to, you know, I got to pay bills. Let's go. This is something very significant. What Simon Peter is really saying is, I'm done with this. I'm going back to my old life. Now, what is the response of the other disciples? We're going with you. We're going back to the old ways. And they left. Love the way John says it. And they immediately got into the boat. Means what? We're not going to change our minds. We're done. Why did they do that? Why, after all that had happened, 3.5 years of walking with Jesus, hearing him teach, watching the miracles, and then seeing him crucified, buried, but coming back to life. After all this, why would they go back to their old ways? Now you have to think for a moment. It's only been a week since Jesus rose from the grave. It's only been about 9 days since he was brutally crucified by the Romans. Have you ever been through a traumatic situation? How long did it take you to get over it? Some of us, it takes years. Especially if it's a death of someone you love. These disciples had been through a roller coaster of the worst kind. How do you think they were feeling? I believe they were still in shock. They had witnessed with their eyes their master, their teacher, the one who changed their lives forever, taken from them and then nailed to the cross. They were still in shock. Not only were they still in shock, but they were disheartened because they were hoping that he would be their king, Messiah, and now it's over. What happened to the Sermon on the Mount? What happened to Matthew 24? What happened to all the things he taught us? John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me. What happened to all this? And all the healings? They were discouraged. Have you ever been discouraged? And you go, I just don't know. Not only that, they were also confused. Now think about what happened. If you had to process guilt, grief. You're going through a grief process and you're going through this. Sooner or later, one day you wake up and you go, you know, I'm over it. I'm getting better. People ask you, how are you doing? I'm better. I'm better than I was 6 months ago. What happened to Jesus 3 days after he was crucified? What happened? He showed up again. They were confused. It's one thing to say, yeah, he's buried and we went by the grave. He's, you know, it's so sad and, you know, I don't know what we're going to do, but I'm moved. He shows up again. And he doesn't come and stay with them. He comes and goes. So I can imagine the disciples going, are we losing our minds? Because this guy, I don't know. And Jesus was not exactly like he used to be before. I mean, he would still eat food, but then he would like walk through walls. Something else, they were probably feeling unworthy. What was the disciples' contribution on the night that Jesus was betrayed? What was their contribution? They ran. They ran, they left him. As someone said, they left him like rats leaving a sinking ship. Now imagine if I was in a bad situation, somebody was trying to hurt me and you happened to be there. All right? And instead of helping me, you deserted me. And the next time you and I meet, how do you think you would respond? It would be really awkward. One, it would be like, hey, man, how's it going? Good. Good to see you, too. Are you doing better? Uh-huh. Thanks for nothing, you know. These disciples were probably going through this time of feeling unworthy. Our master was killed, and we couldn't do anything. Something else, some of them were feeling embarrassed. How do you think Peter felt? What did he do on the night of the trial? He denied Jesus 3 times, just the way Jesus had warned him. He said, I'm going to follow you even to death. He said, no, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. And he does, and Jesus looks at him, and their eyes meet. And you know how Peter was. He was always gung-ho to do more and be the greatest. And now everybody knew, yeah, Peter denied Jesus. He cussed him out. Can you believe that? He cussed Jesus out. Some of them were embarrassed. Some of them, even if they understood what was happening, I believe they were wondering, is it worth following Jesus? What did Jesus say to them when he was still with them? He said, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. I believe they were thinking, does that mean that we're next? Because I really don't feel like dying on a cross this time. Maybe next year or so, but not today. You see, all these questions were running through their minds, these doubts, these confusions. And Peter did what any of us would have done. I'm out. I'm going back to my old life. You know, that's what happens, by the way. Many of us start following God. We start walking with God. You start attending church. And as a pastor, I've been pastoring. This is my first and only church. I've been here 18 years. I've seen people. They begin to grow. They begin to get it. They begin to see that God is working in their lives. And then problems come. And instead of hanging in there and saying, I know that he who is in me is greater than he that is in the world, they go, this is too much. I even had one person say to me, you know, ever since I started following God, things got worse. And I said, I really don't know what to say to you. But I can tell you, you are in a much better place than you were before, weren't you? Yeah, that's true, but I tell you, it's tough right now. It's tough. I didn't have all these problems before. You see, the temptation is, I would rather go back to my familiar, easy, inconsequential life. Praise God, he doesn't leave us. Amen. What did Jesus do? Listen to verse 3. They went out, immediately got into the boat, and the Bible says that night they caught how many fish? Nothing. It never works out when you run from God. Some of you are running from God. You may not think you are running from God, but you are. He said, well, I'm in church, and it doesn't matter. Location doesn't matter. It's the heart. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. That's amazing to me. If I was their master, I would have left them out there and said, that was a waste of time. That's a lost cause. I'm going to find some others. But he came back for them. And how did he address them? Listen to verse 5. He said, children. It means you are still my family. You know, that's how God is with us. That's how Christ is with us. Even if we leave him, he doesn't leave us. He still comes for us. And his question, do you have any food? They said, no. Now he says to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. Now I have seen a boat like this that was taken out of the Sea of Galilee. And honestly, at the widest part, that boat is no wider than from here to the end of that microphone. They were not very, you know, really big yachts and ships. Just tiny little boats. So casting a net on the left side versus on the right side had nothing to do with, oh, the change of direction really brought in the massive catch. It's more about who is telling them to do it. What Jesus is telling them is, this is not about the fish. This is about your true calling. I have called you. And if you obey me, you will catch many fish. Fish meaning souls. Keep in mind, this is still a sign. The structure of this is still like the signs that we looked at prior to the crucifixion. What happens next? So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Now watch how Peter responded in verse 7. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Means even Peter could not recognize him. John did. But how did Peter respond? When he heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and he plunged in. He dove right into the lake. And by the way, how far were they? Only 100 yards. He could have waited 10 minutes. But here's something. When it comes to following God, I know there are times that you want to learn and grow and understand better and not just jump right in. But when you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, respond then. Don't wait. Don't wait. Because if you wait, you say, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ today, but I'm going to wait till next week. I need to get baptized, and I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for a better time. But everybody, I'm going to join Clearview, but I'm going to wait on this. You wait. You deliberate. And that feeling, that desire is going to go away. I don't know why, but it goes away. It's no longer as imperative. The urgency is lost. He jumps in, gets to Jesus, verse 9. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals and fish laid on it and bread. Now, I don't know, how did Jesus get those fish? I mean, did he catch them? Did he create them? Did he like snap his finger and the fish from the lake jumped into the fire? We don't know. But keep in mind, this is a sign. What does that mean? These are souls. What the sign says is this. He is catching souls. But then listen to what he says to them in verse 10. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have caught." I don't know how it works, folks. But God is the one reaching souls, and yet he has called me and you to partner with him in bringing more fish into the kingdom. Simon Peter went up, dragged the net to land full of large fish. Now here's something really odd. 153 means someone took the time to count them. Now people have come up with a lot of solutions like, well, what does that number mean? Is it a code? Those numbers have some Old Testament significance. Honestly, no one really knows. My answer is simple. It works for me. I believe that every soul has a number. And my job is to catch every soul possible. And every soul matters. The point is, they were so moved that they had never seen 153 fish in one net. And what is the beauty of this all? And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Means when you cooperate with God and when you begin to catch fish, catch people for Christ, none are lost. And Jesus said that repeatedly throughout the John's gospel. He said, "And the ones the Father has given to me, I have lost none." Let me draw some applications. No matter our occupation, fishing for souls is our calling. Now, people say, you know, "Oh, pastor, that you are the soul winner." No, my occupation, my vocation is being a pastor. My calling is to be a soul winner. That's why every week I leave my office, because there are no fish in my office. No matter our occupation, fishing for souls is our calling. And every disciple is called to catch souls. Number two. It never works out when you run from your calling. "Oh, I got a promotion. Oh, we went on a vacation. Oh, we're doing so great." As a disciple, it will not work out. It never does. Ultimately, you are empty. There isn't a fish in your net. You will be empty. Here's number three. This is powerful. Don't miss this. Jesus expects from us on a large scale what he did on a small scale. How many disciples did he have? 12. One went rogue, only 11. In his brief lifetime, he had only 11 true disciples. Out of them, only three. Peter, James, and John were the ones who really got it. But guess what? Jesus said in John 14, 12, I want all of us to look at this verse. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. He said, look, I have won souls, but I'm going upstairs. And when I get up there, you guys are going to double up. You are going to multiply and do things that even I didn't do. Folks, I want to win more souls than Jesus. I don't know about you. That's not sacrilegious. That's what he promised. You know why we do things differently here? Folks, you say, oh, but you know, the church is not, that's not going to do it. Please tell me what will do it. I'm open to any ideas. We are so far behind. We're losing the culture. We have lost the culture. Even if today every church will start baptizing 50, we're still not going to make it. Population keeps growing. Lostness continues. Well, you know, as long as you get that one soul to Jesus. Now, one soul matters. Please stop using that mantra. The culture is getting further and further away, and the churches are saying, as long as we can hold on. You ask me, what is my vision? My vision is not just to reach 10 and 20 and 30 and 40, is to reach thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands for Jesus Christ, because that's how far behind we are. And not just in Vance County, not just in Granville County, not just in this state, in this nation, in this world. That's what he was telling the disciples. You see, our job is to cast. It's his job to fill the net. What we're doing is we're sitting back and saying, fill the net. And Jesus keeps saying, cast it first. That's why we have sports ministry. That's why we do music this way. That's why we do all the shows that John and Ryan and they all work together. Why are we doing all this? We're casting the net. And guess what happens? We're getting two or three fish. I'm waiting for the mother load. Very quickly, when we mess up, he waits for us with breakfast. And last, you have to be caught before you can catch others. Folks, I love teaching the Bible. I love explaining the Word of God. I love seeing people grow. But if you ask me, is that your goal? Absolutely not. Because I can feed you the Word of God. But if all you do is sit there and become obese with the Word of God, we have missed our calling. Our calling is to reach the lost. Our calling is to see people come to Christ. Our calling is to go everywhere, whether it's here or Florida or Texas or across the world, tell people about Jesus. That's our calling. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? We have to leave the trivial behind. I have to leave the trivial behind. I have to stop my foolishness and say, God, help me. I'm ready to cast. I want to get back doing what really matters, reaching the lost.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Jesus has called us to go fishing and not to be content with catching one or two, but to bring a multitude of souls to faith in Christ. And just remember, before you can catch fish, you yourself have to be caught. Place your faith and trust in Christ today. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.